Do you remember normal? It was a Monday morning commute. A playground with the kids. Normal was deciding between a booth or a table. But now, normal looks new. New ways to spend our time. New ways we interact with each other. New ways we experience God. Normal changed. Will you?
Hey, everybody, before I jump into today's message, I got some really exciting news. We are coming home and we are opening or reopening our church doors on Sunday, June 28th. We'll have two service times, one at 9 and one at 11. And according to the direction we received from Governor Cuomo, our state, we're only allowed to have 100 people per service. So obviously that's a quarter of our congregation. Not everyone's going to be able to come. So just to assure many of you, we're going to continue to live stream our Sunday morning services. Actually, our, we call online campus, is going to be our main campus. We call everyone that watches online Transformation Nation. Yes, that's Transformation Nation are all the people that watch online. So you guys are still going to be our main focus doing church online. But we are going to open our doors on June 28th. And this is the trick, though. There's going to be some guidelines that we're going to have to follow. You're going to have to register in advance because we're not going to be able to take in walk-ins. We have to control the attendance for people to come. So please be sure you can go to our website right now to register. We have a 9 a.m. service and 11 a.m. service, so be sure you register. And if you do register, please come. Don't cancel. If you happen to have to cancel, let our office know so that other people can join. I don't know how long we're going to have to do this. We're going to do our best to accommodate everyone. We may add services if we fill to capacity. We may add an overflow room because we can do that. We can have our overflow room and have people watch it there. Everyone will be sitting 6 feet apart. I should say every family will be sitting 6 feet from every other family. Masks are required. We will not have children's ministry to start. We're still going to wait on that. So children will be sitting with their families. We have kids packs or kids activities that we're going to be giving your children as they come to worship with us. So there's going to be some changes. Things might be different. You can read all about the upcoming service on June 28th on our website. There'll be a link that you can click, and there'll be all the details. There's just too many details to list to you right now. But just know that we are working hard. Our staff is working really hard behind the scenes to provide a safe, sanitized place where we can worship God in a socially distant way, a safe way. Hey, if it's okay to go to Walmart, if it's okay to go to Home Depot, I think it's okay to come to church. It will be contactless and touchless. You won't touch anything. The seats will be sprayed. So please, do not be afraid to come back to church. We're going to pray to create a safe environment for you to come and worship God and just take steps towards reopening our building. For those of you that are not going to be able to make it here physically, I'm so grateful that you're able to join us online. Remember, June 28th, we have new service times. We'll have a 9 a.m. and an 11 a.m. worship experience. We also have a later on, we'll also rebroadcast the Sunday morning. So you have plenty of opportunity to stay connected with what's happening here at TC. And lastly, before I jump into today's message, we need transformers to serve. There is no way that we can reopen our building with all of the guidelines without you partnering with us and serving. So would you please consider serving here? Without the necessary volunteers, we'll have to actually delay our opening this time around because there's so many details that we have to cover. So I'm just asking you to please consider serving. Sign up. Go to our website. There'll be a link. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask all the host team members that are hosting on different social media platforms to please post the link to volunteer right now. The goal is 45 people to volunteer. That means one person can serve every 3 weeks. If we have 30 people, you serve every other week. So we're hoping to get you to serve every other week or every 3 weeks just to spread it out. But we need you to serve. Be a part of this. It's going to be exciting. I'll be starting a brand new series, and it's going to be a great day, June 20th. And by the way, next week is Father's Day. On Father's Day, we have a special guest speaker, Pastor Marcus Gill. And I said, you know what, Pastor Marcus is such a great speaker. He's going to do a great job giving us an incredible Father's Day message. So come next Sunday, or I should say don't come, join us online next Sunday for our special Father's Day message. So thank you so much. Looking forward to all the great things that God is doing and going to do in our church and through our lives and through our church family. So thank you so much. So let's get into today's message. I'm wrapping up a 5-week message series called A New Normal. What we've been doing over the past few weeks, we've been looking at the nation of Israel in the book of Exodus. And we are looking at how God was working in the lives of the people of Israel, and God was leading them into a new normal. God wanted to bring change into their life. God wanted to do a deep work into their lives. And that new normal that God was trying to lead them into was a normal of faith and a new normal of trust in Him. So how does God do something new in our lives? How does God lead us into a new normal? Well, He almost always uses trials and troubles and difficult circumstances to do something new in our lives. Let me say that again. God almost always uses trials and troubles and difficult circumstances to do something new in our lives. Actually, trials and troubles are the tools for God's transformation in our lives. Let me say that again. Trials and troubles are the tools of God's transformation work, transformative work in our lives. God uses trials and troubles to lead us into a new normal. Whenever God wants to do something new in our lives, guess what He allows? Trouble, trials, difficulties, tough experiences. Maybe you find yourself at a difficult workplace and God wants to do something new in your life. Not new for you, new in you. Maybe you're facing a difficult financial situation. Maybe you're facing difficulties at home. Whatever difficulties or challenges or trials that are coming your way, God often uses those trials and those troubles to lead us into a new normal and to do something new in our hearts. And that's what I believe God is doing right now to each and every one of us. God is using the trouble of the pandemic and now the crisis we have around our country with law enforcement and dealing with the issue of racism. And God is working in our lives because God wants to lead us into a new normal. God wants to do something new in us. Whenever we come into a relationship with God, God transforms us into new people. And God changes us instantaneously, but He also transforms us over a period of time. We have the instantaneous work of God, and then we have the long-term work of God. God changes us immediately and makes us new creations, but He also works in our lives over a period of time. And He so often allows trouble and trials and difficulties to come our way to produce something new in us, to lead us into a new normal. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to normal. I don't mean movie theaters and barbershops and the mall. I'm talking about the way I once was or the way I was prior to this pandemic. I want to be changed. I want to be different. I want God to do a great work in me. And my prayer is that as we come out of this crisis that we're in, my prayer is that we all come out different, that we all come out changed and transformed by the power of God. And this is what was happening in the book of Exodus. God's people chose to take refuge in the pagan nation called Egypt. And over a period of time, those Egyptians became slave masters over Israel. And for over 400 years, Israel found themselves slaves to Egypt. In Scripture, Egypt represents the world. The truth is, we are all born in Egypt. We are all born slaves to sin. We are all born slaves to unrighteousness. However, God sent his son into this world to rescue us from slavery, to rescue us from the slavery of sin, the slavery of addiction, the slavery of sin in our lives, the slavery of this world. And God sent his son into this world to set us free. And we read in the book of Exodus that God sent Moses, who is a type of a savior. And he's actually pointing to what Jesus was going to do for you and I. God sent Moses to Egypt to deliver them. And God used Moses as a great leader. You see, you and I, if you and I are going to grow and become who God wants us to become, we're going to have to experience some trials and some troubles and some difficulties. And trials and troubles are not because we're doing something wrong. It's because God wants to do something in us. The children of Israel, the nation of Israel, experienced the trouble of slavery, and they cried out to God. God heard them, and God rescued them. And this is what God did. God did a deep work in their life. God brought some plagues upon Egypt. And at the final plague, Pharaoh finally released Israel. Now, after they were released, they came to their first difficult circumstance, and that was the Red Sea. You see, it wasn't a cakewalk after God delivered them. No, God wanted to work in their life. God wanted to work in their character. God wanted to produce something in them, not just do something for them. God wants to do something in you, not just for you. And sometimes he holds us in certain trials and difficulties and challenges because the work he's trying to do in us is not complete. There's still work that he wants to do in our lives. So here in the scriptures, Israel was released, they were delivered, but now God wanted to do a transformative work in their life over a period of time. And what was the tool that God used to change their life? It was trials and troubles. James says it this way. I love how James says it. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of different kinds, because you know, he says, that those trials are the testing of your faith. And he says, the testing of your faith produces something in you. It produces perseverance. He says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lack anything. I love James because James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 gives us the understanding of how God uses trials and troubles as a tool for transformation. So how does God use trouble in our life to transform us? Well, first of all, God uses trouble to strengthen our faith. Yes, all of us have to mature. All of us have to grow. All of us have to grow in our faith. How do we grow in our faith? Well, God will allow trouble. For example, the trouble you and I are experiencing right now in this crisis has caused us to trust God more. I don't know about you, but it's caused me to have more faith in God. Prior to this pandemic, I think my faith was a little weaker to the way it is today, but I think today my faith is stronger. My trust in God is greater because the circumstance has caused me to place a greater faith in God. Trials is like miracle growth for our faith. Without trials, our faith won't grow. So many of us, when we hit a trial, you know what the first thing we want to do is we want to go back to normal. That's what happened to the children of Israel. God delivered them. He delivered them from slavery. He delivered them from Egypt. Then he brought them to a trouble, which is the Red Sea. What's the first thing they're going to do? First thing they wanted to do was to go back to the way it was, to go back to normal, to get out of the trouble. Do you realize that their normal was slavery? Their normal was bondage? Their normal was no day off, no rest, no worship, no family time, no fun. Their normal was not normal. Their normal was not God's normal, but God's normal for them was something better than what they experienced. God had a promised land for them. God had great blessings for them. God had a future for them. God wanted them to grow. God wanted them to mature. God wanted them to become who he created them to become. But the first moment they find themselves in trouble, what do? They want to go back to normal. That happens to us all the time. We face trials and we face troubles. And instead of asking the question, God, how are you using this trial and trouble to mature me, to strengthen my faith? We want to go back. Or we pray, Lord, take away the trial, take away the trouble. Listen, don't pray for this trial or this trouble to go. Don't pray for it to go. Pray that you grow. Don't go, grow. Pray that you grow through the trial. Now, of course, I'm praying that this pandemic ends. Please, Lord, because we want baseball back. This was the year that the Yankees are going to win the championship, and there's no doubt about it in my mind. Okay, there's no doubt. I am dying to see a Yankee game, and we want to go back to normal. We want to go back to the way things was, but instead of praying, Lord, bring us back to normal, say, Lord, do something abnormal in my life. God, strengthen my faith. Help me to believe you. And that's what God wanted to do. When they faced the Red Sea, he wanted to show them that he was their way maker, that he was the one that can provide a way where there seems to be no way. And the reason why you're in the trial, the reason why you're in the trouble, the reason why you're facing that circumstances is because God wants to strengthen your faith and teach you and show you that he is your way maker. How else would you come to understand God as your way maker if you didn't need God to make a way, if you weren't in a trial, if you weren't facing some trouble? God uses trouble to strengthen our faith. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to believe that he's our way maker. Secondly, what God uses trouble for is to help us grow spiritually. Listen, it's not about just believing. It's not about just placing your faith and trust in God and going to heaven. This life is not about just going to heaven and just giving your life to Jesus. It's about growing in your faith and growing spiritually. You know, Paul talks about this in the book of Corinthians. He talks about Christians that were infants. He talks about these infant Christians that were blown by the wind and the waves. And we read, even James talks about people who are not grounded in their faith. When a storm comes, they get blown by the waves. And we read through Scripture in the New Testament how when people are not mature in their faith, they build their house on sand, and when the storm comes, right, the house collapses because they were not mature in their faith. They didn't have the faith that God wanted them to have. So God wants to strengthen our faith. What does he do? He brings trial. He allows trouble into our lives so that we can grow in our faith. God wants us to grow. God wants us to mature. God wants us to become. It's not enough just to know about God. God wants us to grow in our faith. He wants to grow spiritually. He wants us to grow into spiritually men, mature men and women of God, because we can't stay like infants. Infants are not mature. Infants always need something. Infants are always crying. Infants are always in great need for something in their life. But God says, no. I want you to grow. I want you to mature. I want you to grow into the man or to the woman that I've called you to be. How does that happen? Through trial and through trouble. As we read this story, when Israel came to bitter waters, they crossed the Red Sea. They got to the bitter waters. And after 3 days, they needed a drink, but the water was bitter. What did they do? Of course, they cried out, bring me back to normal. I want to go back to normal. I want to go back to the way things were. But God says, no, I'm leading you into a new normal. And that new normal is a normal of growth and maturity. I want you to trust me. I want you to grow in your confidence of me. And I want you to know that I'm your healer and I'm your provider. It was at that moment that God transformed their bitter waters into something sweet. And it was there that they got to know God as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. That's how we grow spiritually. When we come to experiences that we need God to step in, and when we see him work as healer, as provider, when we see him work in ways that we've never seen him before, we're growing spiritually. You see, God doesn't want us to remain as infants. He wants us to grow. And through this experience that we've been in for these past few months, and through the challenges we are at today, God wants us to grow and to become the children he wants us to become. Next, God uses trouble to build our trust. See, when Israel was fighting the Amalekites, Moses had his hands up. And when he had his hands up, they were winning. But when his hands came down, they were losing. And what God was trying to teach Moses and the nation of Israel is that their reliance and their trust had to be in him, had to be in God. That only with God all things are possible. And if God was on their side, then God will fight for them. So what did Aaron and Hur do? Moses had a seat because he couldn't stand any longer. And Aaron and Hur kept Moses' hands in the air. And as Moses raised his hand, God gave them the victory. We're talking about a group of people who did not have fighting skills, who were not warriors, who were not soldiers, who were not trained in military, because God was with them. Because they trusted in God, God fought for them. And I just want to tell you today that whatever difficulty or trial or trouble you're in today, if you trust in God, God will fight for you. You see, it's not about you fighting. See, when you fight, you fight. But when you pray and when you worship, God fights. And when you fight, you fight. And when you fight, you know what I've learned? That when I fight, I lose the fight. But when you place your faith and trust in God, and when you trust him, and when you pray, and when you depend on him, God fights for you. And that's what God wanted to teach the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. He wanted to teach them to trust in him, to depend on him. That's what God is teaching us now. He wants to teach us to trust in him, regardless of what we're going through. In the situation that we're in, financially and spiritually and relationally and in the racial tensions that we find ourselves in today and the great divide politically, and there's so much unrest. What does God want us from us? He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to depend on him. He wants us to recognize that he is in control, that he is in charge, and that he is on the throne. You know what trusting includes? Trusting involves resting. Not sleeping, but resting in God. Some of you are so worried, you're exhausting yourself. You're feeding yourself with news. You're going through so many things, and you're worrying yourself to death. You know what trust is? We read it in the New Testament. Jesus said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. But he said this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. That's what it means to trust God, to seek him first, to depend on him, knowing that he's fighting for you, knowing that he's going to provide for you, knowing that he is working behind the scenes on your behalf. When you fight, you fight, and when you fight, you lose. But when you pray, when you worship, when you praise, God fights. And when God fights, we win. That's what trusting is all about. That's what God is doing in this season that we're in. He just wants us to trust him. He's in complete control. I can tell you at the beginning of this pandemic, I didn't have much trust. I didn't have much faith. I thought... Just to think that the church would be closed for months, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, can we survive? Will we be able to survive this pandemic, not just health-wise, but financially and spiritually? And you know what I saw God do over these past 3 months? Not only did we survive, but we thrived. Yes, we thrived as a church. God did something new in us. First of all, the first new thing God did was enable us to go live on Facebook and social media platforms and take this message to the world. There are people all over the United States and the world watching this message today. Come on now. That's a win, because that's what God does. When we trust him, he leads us into this new normal. What's our new normal? It is live streaming, taking this message and taking our church to the world. There are people that have never been to our church who are watching this right now. There are people that I know who've never walked through these doors, who've walked through our church online doors. That would not have been possible if we didn't go through a trial or trouble. It was that caused us to trust in him. And I wondered, I says, Lord, I don't know if we're going to make it. I might end up having to get a job. I might have to find another profession. I may have to do something else to keep my family afloat. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what my financial picture would look like. I don't know what the church finances would look like. But you know what God told me? Just trust me no matter what. Actually, it was the message that I preached called Trust in the Trial. And that message was for me. And as I trusted God, you know what God did? God began to work behind the scenes. God began to work in ways I never thought he worked. You know what I did? I just rested in his promises. I says, God, you're in complete control. You know, we're not out of the woods yet. We still have challenges ahead, but this I know, God is in control. And this is what God says in his word. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Come on now. The gates of hell will not prevail against this church. All hell could be coming at us, but it doesn't matter. I know the end result. We win. Why? Because our trust is in God. He's building the church. Trouble also, how God uses trouble, he also uses trouble to deepen our relationship with him. Perhaps that's the most important point here today. Because what God wants more than anything is for us to know him in a deeper, more personal way. What he does is sometimes allow these things to happen so that we can cling to him, so that we can grow closer to him, so that we can know him personally and intimately, so that we can discover him as provider, as healer, as way maker, so that we can come to know him in ways we've never known him before. God used trouble to strengthen the nation of Israel's faith and help them grow spiritually. He helped them build their character, deepen their relationship with him. God has something great for him, for them. And it wasn't slavery in Egypt. And God has something great for you. And God has something great for me. And the greater things that God has still lies ahead. Because God has more in store. And the best is yet to come. And I'm so grateful I'm not where I was. But I sure know this, that I'm not where God wants me to be quite yet. I know that God has more in store. I know that he has greater blessings for us in the future. I know that God is not done with Transformation Church. I know that God is going to bring us places that we never thought we would be and do things in our church that we never thought he would do. I know God is going to do things in my life that I never thought he was going to do. We are not finished. God is not finished. As we trust him and believe, God will bring us to the very place he has prepared for us. That's what he was teaching the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. God was teaching them to trust him. God had a promised land for them. God had a blessing for them. And God wanted to do a deep work in their life and bring them to a place that he promised them. And they struggled. They struggled with doubt. They struggled with fear. They struggled with insecurity. But eventually, they would reach the place that God prepared for them. So after 40 years, the story goes on, and as we wrap up this series, wrap up this message, after 40 years of wandering around the wilderness, Moses, his life comes to an end. And we read in Deuteronomy now, we're out of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and now we're in Deuteronomy chapter 34, okay? God brings Moses to the edge of the edge of the promised land, okay? And this is what the Lord said to him in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 34. This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, when I said I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. Isn't that mean? Immediately after that, Moses died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. Isn't that kind of, you think that's a little mean? That God would bring Moses after all of those trials and all of those troubles and all of those challenges, that he would bring Moses to the point where he would see the promised land and not possess the promised land. When I read this passage, I wonder how Moses felt. I wonder what Moses was thinking. As the story ends of the children of Israel being delivered from Egypt in the book of Exodus, seeing God move mightily all throughout the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and now Deuteronomy, we come to the end of their wandering. And now we see Moses at the end of his life. And when you read this, it seems a little odd that God would allow Moses to see the promised land, but not experience or possess the promised land. What we also don't read is Moses complaining. We don't see Moses angry. We don't see Moses upset. We don't see Moses angry at God, complaining at God. We don't see Moses saying, God, it's been 40 years of wandering, and now you bring me to this point, and now you show me the promised land, and now you say I can't possess it, now I'm going to die. We don't read that. Why? Because Moses had a deep relationship with God. You see, through the trials and through the troubles, Moses had a deep, personal, intimate relationship with God. You see, God did something in Moses, not just for Moses. And God wants to do something in you and not just for you. God doesn't just want to deliver you from the pandemic. He wants to do something in you through the pandemic. And you ask, what? What does God want to do? Well, we learn from the life of Moses what God wants to do. You see, when we read this, Moses had such a deep relationship with God that for Moses, the promised land was not a place. Okay? Follow me. I'm wrapping this up. Stay with me. For Moses, the promised land was not a place. It was not something on the exterior. Was not something on the outward. It was something inward. You see, God wants to do something more than bless you financially and bless you outwardly. God wants to bless you inwardly. God wants to do an inward work in your life. You see, for Moses, the promised land wasn't a place. For Moses, the promised land was the presence. For Moses, the promised land was the presence of God. You see, in Exodus 33, Moses said to God, God, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. If your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going. Moses, his life was anchored in the presence of God. And if God's presence was with Moses, and if God's presence was in Moses, then God possessed the promise. You see, where God wants us to get to is this last point. What God And where God wants to take us is this, where his presence is primary and his promises are secondary. God wants us through the trial and through the trouble to experience his presence in powerful ways. And I believe this with all my heart, that as we reopen our churches and as we reopen the state, I believe we must reopen our hearts to receive a fresh infilling of God's Spirit and God's presence in our lives. Because if we have God's presence, we have everything we need. God wants to pour out his Spirit. God wants to release his presence in our lives. God wants us to practice his presence. God wants us to make his presence the most important thing in our lives. You see, God wants us to take us to a place where his presence is primary and his promises are secondary. Sure, God is going to bring us and do something great outwardly and physically, but deep within our souls, God wants to do something inwardly. God help us if all we focus on is on the outward promises and blessings of God. Because God wants to do something far greater than bless us outwardly. God wants to pour out his Spirit inwardly. And I believe, as Joel prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, that in the last days, God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all people. I truly believe that we are on the verge of an incredible move of God's Spirit like we've never seen before. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how we're going to be able to manage it. I don't know what the building is going to look like, but this I know, that God is not limited to time and to space, that God wants to pour out his Spirit in your life, and he wants you to make his Spirit and his presence the primary thing in your life. Because if you possess the presence of God, then you also possess the promise. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, Jesus told his disciples, he said, wait for the promise of the Father. The promise wasn't a place. It was the presence of Jesus. And it's when we get to that point in our lives that we will fully experience God in us and fully be at a place that we walk into our divine destiny. See, God through this season has stripped us from so much. He stripped us from sports and money, God of money and God of entertainment and everything. He's stripping us down so that his presence becomes primary in our lives. So let me encourage you to open up your heart to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because in these last days, God is going to pour out his Spirit upon you, and God is going to pour out his Spirit on me. And I don't know about you, but get ready for God to pour out his Spirit and his presence in your life. As we close, would you just bow your head with me? And as you bow your head, can you just lift up your hands to the Lord and just say, Lord Jesus, fill me with your presence. Fill me with your power. Lord, lead me into a new normal in which your presence is primary and your promises are secondary. Lord Jesus, would you pour out your Spirit upon all people? Lord, for every person listening and watching on the screen, oh God, I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would pour out your Spirit, that you would touch hearts and lives, that you would fill us with your presence like Moses, Lord God. Show us your glory. Reveal to us your presence. Because, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. We need your presence. We need your Spirit. We need your goodness in our lives. Lord, I just thank you for this time in which we can gather online. And Lord, we look forward to the day that we not only gather online, but we gather physically. And when we do, Lord Jesus, would you show us your glory? Would you reveal to us your presence? Lord, please make your presence, help us to make your presence primary in our life, and your promises are secondary. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for all that you're doing in us through this season. And we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. God bless you all.